I was giving a slide presentation about the pilgrimage to the holy places of Lord Ramachandra a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, in Split, Croatia. And when I came there, there was no slide projector at all. It just broke down a little bit earlier. They removed it and they never told me. So Vrindavan is the holy place of Krishna's pastimes, where Krishna appeared about 5,200 years ago and performed some pastimes for some years, for about 8 years, and then he left and he never came back, leaving all the inhabitants of Vrindavan brokenhearted. But this brokenheartedness, these feelings of separations from him, kept them going, and these are the feelings of the topmost ecstasies in the spiritual life. So we traveled around India in a first class, business class compartments in the trains, as you can see in these pictures. And there are a few interesting things about traveling in India. On the toilets, so I don't know if they're going to let you in if you don't wear a sari. And by train, we have reached Mathura, the place where actually Krishna was born about 5,200 years ago. And Mathura is situated just like Vrindavan on the bank of the holy river Yamuna. And these two paintings were actually done by the Westerners about 150 years ago. So this is the place where Krishna actually appeared. This temple that we see that takes most of the picture is the new temple, actually. And Krishna's place of birth is on the left, and that's a mosque. We can ask, how did he appear in a mosque? Why did they build a mosque on Krishna's birthplace? But we can see mosque here on the left again. The great Muslim ruler of India, famous or infamous Aurangzeb, about 400 years ago, destroyed about more than 50,000 temples in India, along with the deities, and God knows how many millions of Hindus he has killed. You know, Brahmanas in India, Vaishnava Brahmanas, they wear sacred Brahmin threads around their necks, on their shoulders. And how heavy is a thread? So Aurangzeb had the rule that every day they had to kill enough Brahmanas to gather 46 kilos of thread every day. How many thousands is that every day? God knows. The largest genocide in the human history wasn't the Second World War or the American Indians or anything else advertised today in the media. It's the genocide against the Hindus in India. So we continue on a high-class transportation to the nearby Vrindavan, about 10-15 minutes ride. These motor three-wheeler rickshaws are meant to transport two persons with a driver, and usually there are 12 or 15 people squeezed in. But they keep on going. And we come to Vrindavan. The temperature that greeted us was really, really nice, so cooling, so fresh. But we got used to it because hot season has already begun after the Gaur Purnim, the festival of the appearance day of the birthday of Lord Krishna Chaitanya, in March. And shortly after this, we arrived to Vrindavan. Vrindavan, the ancient place of Krishna's holy pastimes, the beautiful place described in the holy scriptures of India, the beautiful crystal clear river Yamuna, the temples on its shores. But everything disappeared 5,000 years ago after Krishna left this planet and went back to the spiritual world. He went back to the spiritual world and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan went back with him. So everything fell apart, and by 500 years ago when he came again as Krishna Chaitanya, everything has disappeared. So Lord Chaitanya instructed his principal disciples to rediscover these places and build temples there. And Srila Prabhupada, whom you can see here with the group of his disciple, brought a group of them in the late 1960s to Vrindavan for the first time on pilgrimage. And Vrindavan is a city of 5,000 temples. It's a beautiful place, and when we were going there this year, as Katya said in the introduction, this year we visited Vrindavan 3 times, and before that I visited it 2 times. This year it was Katya's first time in Vrindavan, and she knew the stories just as I did first time when we were going, of the transcendental pastimes that happen in Vrindavan, and how Vrindavan is a high transcendental place. And we come there with our hearts full of spiritual expectation. And then there are pigs living in the street and there is open sewage. Oh my God! So one time, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, who brought all of this knowledge of Krishna all over the world, was in Vrindavan with his disciples, and he was telling about Krishna's pastimes there. And one disciple said, but I cannot see it. And Srila Prabhupada told him, yeah, that's because you have a speck in your eye. So he started rubbing his eyes, and Prabhupada said, no, it's not such a kind of speck. It's a materialistic consciousness speck. So it takes some time to get used to the smells and the sounds and the open sewage and, oh my God, smells. We developed a saying in India, smells like Mumbai. And if it smells even worse, then it smells like Calcutta. But in Vrindavan, it smells equally as bad, but we never developed such a saying. Vrindavan, city of 5,000 temples, and every street, so many temples, known, unknown. You're just walking around. There is temple after temple after temple after temple after temple. So many temples. And there are some principal temples. There are 7 principal temples of Vrindavan. And most of Krishna's deities from there are not in Vrindavan anymore. The only one who ever stayed is deity in this temple. Radharaman. Now, there are sacred stones who appear on the banks of the holy river Kaligandaki, high in the Nepalese Himalayas. And we were there after visiting Vrindavan, and that's going to be a subject matter for the next presentation, the pilgrimage to the Himalayas. And these holy stones, the worms living in the river, they carve the symbols of Lord's chakra, the wheel, on them, and they are worshipped on the altar. So one of the principal disciples of Krishna Chaitanya, about some 450 or maybe even 500 years ago, was instructed by Lord Chaitanya to go up there and get some shalagram shilas, and at that time everything was done by foot. We went by bus, and I made a vow to myself that next time I'm going by foot too. You don't like Nepali roads. And he brought them back and he worshipped them, but he wanted the full-size deity of Krishna. So one night, one of the shalagram shilas just grew into a beautiful deity, and this is the temple of Radharaman. We came just on the time when some devotees sponsored the entire altar to be decorated. That's all behind, that's all flowers. All flowers, the entire backdrop, stringed flowers made into a beautiful decoration. So Krishna, he still has a sign on his back, the chakra sign, which proves that he appeared from that shila. He grew, actually. Shila turned into Radharaman. And we have some beautiful old photo of him here. And of course, after every arati, the ceremony of worship, prasadam, the sanctified food, is distributed to everyone who's there. You can see Katya's arm on the far right. We walk down the street and we come to the temple of Radha Damodar. There are 3 sets of deities there. And I forgot the names of other ones, but they were worshipped by the great direct disciples of Lord Chaitanya. But the one in the middle, that's Radha Damodar. This is the temple where Srila Prabhupada stayed before coming to the West, where he wrote books. This is a photo of him staying on this exact the same spot. And this is where Rupa Goswami, the direct disciple of Lord Chaitanya, appeared to him and gave him detailed instructions about how to preach all over the world. For those who want to know, we can tell the story later after the presentation. So these are the rooms where he used to stay. The room where he just saw him is on the left, and the room where he slept was on the right. As with the other six out of seven principal deities of Vrindavan, due to the Muslim invasion, they had to be protected, so they were taken away to the holy city of Jaipur, which we visited, and we see the photo here, the temple room and the altar of Sri Sri Radha Damodar. We proceed down the road, and we come to the temple of Sri Sri Radha Govinda, another deity of Lord Krishna, that was made and installed 5,000 years ago by Krishna's great-grandson, Vajranaba. But after Krishna's disappearance from this world, all the deities disappeared. And this temple is the most beautifully built, architecturally built temple of the entire Vrindavan. It used to be 7 stories high, but when Aurangzeb's soldiers came, they demolished upper 4 stories. And we can see that with the 3 stories left, it's a beautiful piece of architecture. So this is inside the main temple room. And you see that dome, part of the dome, which is made like an upside-down lotus. I don't know how many tons is that heavy. But 500 years ago, they made it without problem. The entire temple is made out of sandstone, and there is one Western scholar who dedicated her entire book and made her PhD on the architecture of this temple. Of course, place is full of our dear friends who have no problems on jumping on your head, taking your glasses or your hat or your phone or earphones and taking it away, and then you have to bribe them by buying them bananas, peanuts or something else. Rupa Goswami was sitting in Vrindavan. He didn't have a deity to worship, and then a local boy came and told him, "Hey, why are you sad? Hey, Baba, no one is sad in my village. Are you hungry?" "No." "Tell me, Baba, what can I do for you? No one goes sad in my village." And he told him, "You know, everybody has the deity to worship. I don't. I want to worship Krishna, Govindaji." "Oh, Baba, I can tell you where he is. You know, see the top of that hill? There's a small hole there. And a cow walks to that hole every day, and she exhibits the symptoms of ecstasy, and the milk starts pouring from its udder into the hole. So that's where the deity of Krishna that you're looking for is." So Rupa Goswami went there, started digging with his own hands, and he found a beautiful deity of Krishna called Govindaji. And then he had the realization, the little boy who guided him there, it was Krishna himself. Now, due to the Muslim invasion, Govindaji had to escape to the nearby Radhakund, and then the king of Rajasthan, the royal state of India, which stood strongly against the invaders, sent the letter and invited the Lord to come. He said, "If you come, I'm going to build a city just for you." So that deity of Krishna, Govindaji, with his Radharani on the right, traveled for more than 30 years in secrecy, not to be found and destroyed by the invaders, until he came to the city of Amber, and then King, just a few kilometers from the Amber fortress, which has walls that are 12 and a half kilometers long, built the city of Jaipur, which literally means the victorious city or the city of victory, built this temple at the heart of the city, his palace across. So when he wakes up in the morning, the first thing he sees when he opens the doors of his chambers is his beloved Lord. And there are beautiful stories within the last 350 years of Govindaji being there. This is inside the temple, and every time where it's time, when the altar opens, it's time for a darshan to greet the Lord. The temple gets overcrowded with people, and they just start singing spontaneously local songs in the worship of the Lord Govindaji. They have a camera, and there is a live video cast going on the internet all the time. Jaipur can be the subject matter of some other presentation too, but we visited a few more places while there, like Hawa Mahal, the Palace of the Winds, the beautiful piece of architecture. It's, you know, you have to stay for at least 5-6 days in Jaipur in order to see the most important things in the city, around the city, the fortress, the climb on the hill. It's a beautiful place to visit. But back to Vrindavan, back to the original Govindaji temple, this is a stone from the Govardhan hill with the imprint of Krishna's foot, the original, 5,200 years old. Govindaji at night. We proceed down the street and we come to the bank of the holy river Yamuna, the place called Keshi Ghat. The beautiful ghats on the bank of holy river Yamuna where Krishna killed the demon called Keshi, who was in the form of, who knows, a horse. So he came and he started terrorizing Vrindavan. He was huge. I don't know how many meters he was tall, but Krishna tamed him, and finally Krishna killed him by putting his hand into the horse's mouth, expanding his hand, and choking the demon horse to death. Here we have the horse pooping to death. We continue down the river Yamuna, which is busy. Vrindavan is becoming a real modern town now. We see the buildings in the back that are towering as high as the temple domes. And devotees go and take a boat ride on Yamuna. Yamuna is not what she used to be. It was a gorgeous river flowing through Vrindavan, but due to the modernization of India and the growing of the big cities, especially the nearby New Delhi, most of the Yamuna's water is diverted for watering the fields and using it in the city. So a lot of water that flows through Vrindavan now is just New Delhi sewage. That's why we didn't take a bath in it, in her holy waters. However, we visited her source in the Himalayas. Devotees enjoying themselves on a hot summer day. Beautiful Yamuna. All the inhabitants of Vrindavan are holy people, and by walking down, they meet many of them doing different things. Even the chokidar, the security guard, is covered in the Mahaprasadam flower garlands from the temple, while sitting in front in the street in the shadow, ignoring the monkeys. The pujaris, the priests worshipping the deities, the sadhus, holy men, sleeping on the bank of the river, on the floor, under the trees. And we come back to something that 40 years ago was the outskirts of Vrindavan, the jungle, the part of Vrindavan called Ramanareti, which is the most popular temple of Vrindavan, called Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Mandir, or Krishna Balaram Temple, built there in 1974 and 5 by the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. At the main entrance, we can see the magnificence of its architecture. And this was basically built by devotees who had no experience in building. They hired local people who were local artists who were carving the stone, but it was built by total amateurs, and it was built so beautifully and so stably. The building on the left, that samadhi or the mausoleum where the body of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada is entombed, in 1977, in November, now it's going to be 40 years that he disappeared from this world. And ever since, devotees have been coming to that holy place of pilgrimage. That, to me personally, that's the most beautiful part of Vrindavan. Little bit behind the corner, there's a house where Srila Prabhupada lived, and a museum. So inside Prabhupada Samadhi, from 1977, this was built back then, a magnificent piece of architecture. Have you ever seen a mausoleum that's this beautiful? and Srila Prabhupada's deity is installed there. We come and we pray to him and we thank him for bringing the knowledge of Krishna to the West. And there are his transcendental lotus feet installed on the wall, on the back of the mausoleum. And we take the opportunity to take dust from his sacred lotus feet. Inside the very temple, it's always crowded, any time of the day. From the moment the temple opens until it closes, it's always crowded. People are coming from all over India to come in here and enjoy the transcendental atmosphere and pray to the Lord. Katya's mom and auntie came also. They had that transcendental good fortune to spend the night in Vrindavan. The whole army of ladies is making flower garlands for the Lord on the altar. And this is morning time at 4:30. Full. And presiding deities on the altar, we can see Srila Prabhupada on the left, and on the right, his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and then Sri Sri Gauranitai, Lord Chaitanya and his brother Nityananda, Sri Sri Radha Shyama Sundara, Ki Jai, and Lalita on the left, and Vishakha Devi on the right, and Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, after whom this temple is named. There were no other temples of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan, just Krishna on his own, or Radha and Krishna. And when Srila Prabhupada built this temple and installed Krishna Balaram, oh my God, people started flocking in. So, we can pray to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada that one day, too, we can come to that transcendental Vrindavan where He can take us on a tour to all the holy places of Krishna's pastimes. He can tell us about Krishna, what was Krishna doing there, and hopefully one day, hoping against hope, we can get darshan of Krishna and his beloved Srimati Radharani in that holy place of their eternal pastimes. Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Ki Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Samavita Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Nitai Gauru Premanande Hari Hari Bo. So we have another 5 minutes or 6-7 minutes until the altar opens and we start the kirtan part. Does anyone have any question? Lako tudi v slovenščini. Yeah, kako ime mesta, ki se Krishna, what's the name of the place where Krishna was born, where there was a mosque? Mathura. And we go to Mathura, just any rickshaw driver, we ask, Krishna Janmasthan. Janma means birth and sthana means place, like Pakistan, Afghanistan, Krishna Janmasthan. Everybody knows. The reason why I couldn't get good photos from the inside is that anything for recording is nothing is allowed to take inside for the recording. Now, next time I go, I plan to go with the recording sunglasses. So I hope that the guards there still don't know about it, because we visited a number of temples where you are not allowed to take photos or videos, and beautiful deities. So next time, hopefully with all of your blessings, I can smuggle the glasses in. You know, you can get them in New Delhi on a bazaar for 20 euros or something, or on the Amazon, HD, high quality, and you can go in there and, you know, take darshan and everything, but record and then share videos with the devotees, maybe put on the internet. So all the devotees can have darshan, can see. I don't know what is their philosophy behind not allowing to take photos, but they say, no, it's an impression upon the mind, and you have to come to see the Lord. But what about those people who will never be able to come to Vrindavan? What about them? Okay, they can think about the Lord, but how about seeing the Lord? Beautiful photo of the Lord on the holy places, so they can go on the tour, or we can have presentations like this with all of those photos and videos. Now, there was a place we also visited in India, a holy place called Naimisharanya, where Srimad Bhagavatam, the topmost Vedic scripture, was spoken about 5,000 years ago by the sage called Suta Goswami. And I visited the temple built on the exact spot where he sat and spoke to how many sages were there? 80,000 sages? And he spoke to them. And I asked the priest there, may I take photos? And he said, yes, of course, but under one condition. And I'm like, yes? He said, that you put them on the internet. I was like, oh, excuse me? He said, yes. So as many people as possible can see Krishna and get his beautiful darshan and pray to him and be inspired by him and maybe even come here to see him and worship him. I was like, wow, that's a beautiful attitude. Not, no photos. No photos. You have to come here and see the Lord. Well, what if I cannot come? You know, on the internet, you even have the photos from the Kaaba in Mecca. You are allowed to photograph at some occasions, and there are, you just Google it, and you can find the photos of it online. But all of these temples, and I was thinking, why? Don't you want the entire world to love Krishna and to see him, not like to keep people away from Krishna? So next time after we come, we'll have some secret photos and videos. Shh. It's going to be on YouTube too, but anyway. Yeah, in Janmasthan in Mathura, actually the temple was destroyed by the Emperor Aurangzeb and his soldiers. There was a beautiful 5,000 years old deity of Krishna there, and he destroyed him as well. They leveled the temple. That was not the first temple that has been there 5,000 years ago. Actually, 5,000 years ago, there was no temple. It was prison, because Krishna was born in a prison cell of his uncle Kamsa, who imprisoned his mother and father and killed six of their sons that were born in the prison. So, 500 years ago, Aurangzeb destroyed the temple and built a mosque on it. And throughout the centuries, as British Empire took over and Muslims kind of left, paperwork has been done, and then some local people who were Hindus, worshippers of Krishna, got the papers. So today, the entire area belongs to worshippers, to devotees of Krishna. Now, when Aurangzeb destroyed the temple, the only thing he didn't destroy was the basements. And in the basement, there was a prison cell where Krishna was born. So today, when you go there, you actually enter the exact spot where Krishna was born, and that's the only room that has been preserved for the past 5,200 years. Exactly the same spot where he was born. And it's in the basement, inside the mosque. Of course, you cannot photograph. I don't know why again, but that's okay. You know, they've been on the entrance, they were sending me three times to go back to the storage room to leave my things. What, I cannot take my pen inside to take that, to write down notes? No, you cannot take this thing. Well, but I had this thing on the plane. No, you cannot take anything inside. I was like, okay, come on. Can I take my wallet? Let me see inside. So he, you know, browses through my wallet, sees the photos, the money, the coins, everything. I was like, okay, come on, you know. I'm coming here to get the darshan of Krishna, to see Krishna, to come on a pilgrimage. Why do you treat me like a terrorist or a criminal? But to wind up, because we have another 12 seconds, next time we're going to be talking, maybe not next Sunday feast, but in close future, we'll be talking about the pilgrimage in Himalayas, and this is the photo we took at about 3,500 meters high in the Nepali Himalayas on the way to the holy place that is called Muktinath. So, thank you very much. Jai Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki, Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bo.